We've been studying the book of Luke, and this is a momentous Sunday because we're actually going to wrap up the book of Luke this morning. So Luke chapter 24, we'll be picking up at about verse 33. Now at the beginning of 24, this was the Easter account that Luke has given to us. And he talks about the women going to the place where Jesus was buried, because the body wasn't fully prepared, and they said, well, we just need to prepare the body, and we need to go. And I don't know how we're going to get in there, but we need to go. And when they got there, they discovered it was open. Now, you know the grave wasn't open to let Jesus out. The grave was open to show everybody that he was already gone. And they went, and they found that Jesus wasn't there, and they found a couple of men in white garments. They were these angels, this glorious, saying, what are you looking for? And they said, don't you remember what Jesus said? And then they thought back, you know, he did say that. That makes a lot of sense. He's risen. And they believed. And they went back to tell the 12 who were back scared, huddling in the little room, hoping that the authorities wouldn't find them because they didn't want to be crucified either. And the ladies told them what happened, and they didn't believe them because, you know, women, they just tell tall tales and they can't be trusted in anything. But you know what? Women seem to have a much greater spiritual sensitivity than men. So men, we need to listen to our women. We need to say, hey, maybe they heard from the Lord. Maybe there's something I need to learn here. Jesus revealed himself first to a woman. You know, Mary, she went first, and she didn't see anybody. She was saying to the gardener, you know, did you know who stole the body? Just tell me who stole the body. I won't be mad. Just tell me where he is. And he says, Mary, it's me. And that's in another biblical account. But just this idea that the Lord ministered to women, and women ministered to the Lord. And there you have a very special place in the kingdom of heaven. And so we thank the Lord for our women. Amen. Now after that, Peter decided to go, oh, I'm going to go check this out. The rest of the guys are going, nah, I don't believe you. But Peter just got up and left and went and saw the empty tomb. And yet, he didn't fully believe. He marveled and he thought, and he was kind of excited, but at the same time, what really happened? What's really going on here? And just, he didn't know what to do with it all. And then two men were heading home to Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, after all these events. And they were talking about everything that happened and how it just wasn't right that Jesus was crucified because he really was innocent. They really thought he was the Messiah, and they were kind of, just down because they killed him. He would have been the Messiah. We really thought he was the Messiah. And all of a sudden, this guy shows up and talks. What are you talking about? And haven't you heard? You know, millions of, we've all been in Jerusalem. You know the events that happened. Well, no, tell me. And then Jesus began teaching them from the beginning of the Bible. These are the things that Messiah had to do. Here are the prophecies about Messiah. And here are the things that happened to the man you were talking about. He did these things, and these things happened to him, and that's what was supposed to happen. And they got to the place where they were going, and Jesus was going to go on, and they said, no, please, stay. I mean, they grabbed a hold of him and say, stay with us, teach us more. And the question is, do we grab a hold of the Lord and say, please, I want more. I want to learn more. Teach me more. Show me more of you. And he started to have dinner with them. And he sat at the head of the table. And he gave the blessing. And when he broke the bread and lifted it up to heaven, their eyes were opened. They realized, oh, that's Jesus. And he disappears. And they weren't afraid at that point. They believed. They got it. It clicked. Instead of being afraid, they said, we got to go up and tell the other guys. So they got back up and they got back into town. And these were two of the guys that were one of the, 75 or so disciples. They weren't the 12 apostles. They were just one of the other people that had been following and seeking the Lord. And so the Lord revealed himself to these normal, everyday people. And they got excited, and they went back, and they wanted to go tell the rest. And that's where we pick up this morning in verse 33. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And what were they talking about? The 11 were talking about, they were saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. So they were talking about this. They're believing it, but they weren't believing it. It's like, it must have happened, and he appeared to Simon, but I don't know what to do with this. It's too good to be true. I don't know if this is really happening. And then the two that came back that were walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, they told them about the things that had happened on the road and how he had known was made known to them in the breaking of bread. He said, "Listen, guys, it's true. We saw him ourselves. We ate with him." And when he broke the bread, it's like, whoa, it's him. And it's like, whoa, he's gone. And so we had to come and tell you. And they're like, whoa, that's pretty wild. And then in verse 36, and as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." It's like he disappeared and then he showed up. And this is just how I think sometimes. This reminds me of a VeggieTales. I mean, this could be a VeggieTales scene. You just imagine, or any other cartoon, you know. It's like everybody's quiet, and then Jesus shows up, woof, and he says, "Fear not." And all the vegetables go, "Ah!" "I just said don't be afraid." "Ah!" They were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. "There's a ghost. That isn't Jesus. It can't be Jesus. You just said he rose again and you believed and you were excited about it." No, but really, when it really happens and it hits you, you don't know what to do about it. They didn't know what to do about it. These guys just talked about Jesus disappearing and then he goes, voof, right in our presence, he's there. Just put yourself in that situation. How would you react? They were scared. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your head? Behold, my hands and my feet, it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have." Guys, I'm not here to scare you. I'm here because I love you, and I wanted to reveal myself to you and show you that I really have risen again. This is really me. These are really my scars. You look at my side. Look at my feet. These are scars. These are scars that the Lord will have forever. Someday we're going to be able to see them ourselves, face to face. Just chew on that for a while. He's going to have the scars forever. He's in a resurrected body. He's not a ghost. This is a real physical body, but it's a spiritual body at the same time. And it's interesting because usually when we talk about the man, the human, we talk about flesh and blood, right? Because flesh and blood is what we know about our bodies. The life is in the blood. If we don't have blood going through our veins, we don't have life. He shed his blood for us. And here he says, flesh and bones. Now, I'm not going to go too far on this because I don't know what it all means, but it does mean that his resurrected body is different than our sinful, fallen body that we have now. And it's a body we're going to have. It's going to be a body that could show up and disappear. But it's a body that, as you can see in a few minutes, can eat. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "You got any food?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. This is really me. This is really a body. I'm not a ghost. This is a resurrected body. It's a different body. This is a body that everyone who who believes and receives me will have in the future. But I can eat. Give me something to eat. And just imagine what it's like. You put yourself in that situation. Jesus, he was dead. Oh, I saw him just the other day on the cross. We saw him in the grave. Now he's not in the grave, and now he's standing before us. This guy says he's Jesus. He's standing before us. I believe him. I can't believe that. I don't know what to believe. What, he's eating. He's eating. That's pretty wild. And they're excited about this. Yeah, this is. But I'm not sure. You ever get excited and yet you're not really sure? This is just too good to be true. I thought it was interesting in this verse, in verse 41. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled. Because of their joy, they could not believe. They're all excited about what happened, but their brain couldn't connect it. It just didn't make sense to them. Have you ever gotten in a situation where you're like, yeah, this is great, this is good, this is no way this is really happening? You can imagine that. The Lord wants us to go past our feelings. He wants us to experience joy. He wants to give us joy unspeakable. But he doesn't want us to rely on our emotions exclusively. He wants us to exercise faith. He wants us to believe. He declares it, and we believe it. And he's in front of us, and he realizes it's hard because they've been through a lot. He's been through a lot. And he's standing in front of them, and he's saying, look, this is why I went through what I went through. I am here. And because I am here and alive, I've paid for the sin of the world. And now there's hope for you guys. You guys are going to start a fire. You guys are going to preach the good news of the gospel so that everyone in the world can know that Jesus is Lord and there is life and hope and forgiveness in him. But still, they're like, I'm excited. I don't know what to do. I'm scared to death. I don't know what to make of this. He's eating. How can a ghost eat? Oh, but he's not a ghost. He's Jesus. How can he be Jesus? He's got to be Jesus. And you go back and forth in your minds going, I don't know what to do with this. And in verse 44, in great love and compassion, Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Guys, I taught you these things. Do you remember? Let me go through them with you again. And he starts another Bible study. He just had a Bible study with the two, and they're back, and they're ready. Yeah, give me more. Give me more. I want to hear it again, Lord, but give me more. This is exciting. When the Lord reveals himself to us through his word, that should excite us. Because the creator of the universe is giving us a glimpse into his glory, revealing himself to us. Because of his love and grace for us that doesn't want to leave us in the dark. And isn't it interesting? If there was ever a time that Jesus could say, guys, just put down your scrolls and just glory in me right now. I'm here. The job is done. Let's just have a big time of praise and worship to the Father together. And you're allowed to worship me now. Because I am the one that came. He could have done that, right? But instead of doing that, he said, let's study the Word. The Word that never fails. The Word that endures. The Word that speaks of Jesus. So let's have a Bible study. Because this is the best way to grow in our relationship with God the Father. And he went through it again, and he said, look, from Genesis, here it is. From Exodus, here it is. These things are all telling of me, even in the Psalms, where I said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was there. It was prophetic. It was speaking of what I was doing on the cross. Guys, this is real. Guys, I'm real. And boy, do I have something for you to do. Boy, have I got a job for you. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Isn't it good that we have a God that helps us understand his word? These things are above what we can understand in our own human fallenness, in our own scheming, in our own perceptions. We can make the Bible say anything we want to, right? But when we're seeking what it really means, when the Holy Spirit comes and teaches, then we can align ourselves with the word and the will of God. And in his grace, not only does he give us the word, but he gives us a helper to understand. And he was there. And they were having a Bible study and people were getting it. Things were clicking. And he said to him, thus it was written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. You guys were keeping, you kept looking. Everybody was looking for the conquering Messiah to come, to get rid of Rome and to set up the kingdom. You know, I'm coming back, and you guys are coming with me, and we're going to do this. But this had to happen first. And I was trying to tell you guys, and I realize you don't understand, but now you understand, because it's done. It is finished. The price of the sin of the world has been paid for. Life has been brought back. Mankind is being reconciled to God. And this is a message that I've given you to share. In verse 47, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Guys, the sin of the world had to be paid for first. And this is the message that needs to be preached to the whole world before I come back in judgment at the end of the age. You guys, this had to be done first. And now, because you guys have been faithful, the 11 who have been faithful, one hasn't been and he isn't anymore. Judas, in the meantime, had hung himself because of the guilt and shame that was on top of him for betraying the Son of God to the authorities. But the 11 that were left, you guys, it's been given to you to proclaim this gospel and to build the church. But not by yourselves. I'm with you always. In fact, when I leave, I'm going to send you a helper. In verse 49, behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high. We need the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit to empower his church, to birth his church. It's his church. Empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit and grown by faithful men and women who trust and obey in the Lord. In all this that Luke is talking about, he kind of summarized a few different visits. Over the next 40 days, Jesus would come and visit a few different people. At one time, there were over 500 gathered, and he appeared before them, and he spoke to them. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And there are no more accounts of visitations from Jesus after that. And 10 days later in Jerusalem, as the apostles and the disciples were waiting, the Holy Spirit came upon them. The day of Pentecost. 50 days after the feast of first fruits became the feast of unleavened bread, which is related to the feasts of first fruits, which is in the fall, which Jesus is our first fruit. He is the first to be risen from the dead, and because he is alive, we can be alive as well. He is that bread, the unleavened bread that he broke at Passover, and he says, "Take this in remembrance of me." 50 days after the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is when Pentecost comes. And Pentecost was a whole different story this year, because that's when the church was born. And Peter, the man who spoke before he thought, now is empowered by the Holy Spirit and gives the most eloquent sermon ever. And what, 3,000 people came to the Lord that day? And they're just getting started in the church. Jesus is saying, "I'm alive, guys. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to encourage you. The price has been paid. I went through it, and I went through it because I loved you. I went through it because of the joy that lay before me. The joy that lay before me is a renewed relationship with you. And a redemption of the world. Hey guys, will you join me on this? Will you come along? Will you let me empower you with the Holy Spirit so that you can go and proclaim this good news, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles? Because I love them too. They're created in God's image." Can we have the praise team come up as we wrap up? Verse 52, it said they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. A joy that was based in a solid faith and belief. When Jesus opened their eyes to the scriptures, they began to believe. And they developed this boldness about them. They said, "Wow, if Jesus is alive, which he is, I believe it now. What else matters? I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to praise Jesus." And it's this joy that wells up within us because of the faith that he's given us. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. What a great way to wrap up a gospel. They were praising and blessing God. Amen. And then Luke, of course, wrote the book of Acts, where you can see great moves of the Lord in the lives of people as they give themselves to the Lord. But you also see people that are still struggling with this fallenness that we have. And things don't go quite the way that we thought they would go. But the Lord is still building his church on that. And today, he uses crackpots like me to teach the word. And he brings us together. And we don't have the perfect church, but we have the perfect Savior. And he is working in and through our lives. And he desires to do a greater and greater work in us. And that work is done as we seek him in his word, as we pray, as we celebrate the goodness that he's given to us. And this morning, as we partake of communion, he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's remember what the Lord did for us. Let's remember what he told the disciples here at the beginning of a great adventure. That he's come, he's paid the price, he's lived the life that's perfect. He's the sacrificial lamb that was necessary to cover the sin of the entire world. That whosoever will believe, would not perish, but have everlasting life. And not just everlasting life, someday forever, but everlasting life starting now, an abundant life filled with the Holy Spirit to accomplish His will and purpose, and allowing us to be a part of it and giving us great joy seeing the Lord at work. These are the things that we remember this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for you and all that you've done for us. Lord, humbling yourself, becoming a man, being despised by man, crucified by man, yet you willingly laid down your life as a sacrifice. We may think that it was us that put you on the cross. The Romans may think it was them that put you on the cross. The Jews, the leaders, may think that they put you on the cross, but you willingly put yourself on the cross because it needed to happen. And you endured it. Oh, how amazing. You endured it for the joy that laid before you. And now you are risen again. And you've sent the Holy Spirit, and you've birthed your church, and throughout the centuries and millennia since, you have worked in your church. Lord, you have made us salt and light in this dark, dark world that needs you. You've brought hope where there is no hope. You've brought healing. You've brought newness of life. And we thank you for it this morning, and we ask that you help us remember it. Meet us here as we commune with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.